for all the wrong reasons, they had reached the right conclusions. Brown Limper went into immediate action. Time and time again, Lars had told him about this great military hero, Hitler, and his faultless campaigns. Turl had impressed foresight upon him. He had been ready for this moment. 2 days before, he had finalized the contract with General Smith. 100 credits a day per man was a lot to pay, but Smith was worth it. Two commandos had gone by truck to the village in the high meadow. There was no town meeting. The villagers had been swept up regardless of any protest. They had been hastily relocated in the distant village on the other side of the mountain Tyler had once chosen for them. The five youths who might have said something were at the academy, three of them learning machine operation and how to keep the passes open in winter with blade scrapers, the other two learning to be pilots. Old people and young children didn't have to be listened to, and their pleas that their preparations for the coming winter were now ruined could be ignored. As a concession to political sagacity, they had been told they were being moved so the old tactical mines could be dug up and disposed of. These mines, they knew now that they were explosives buried long ago, and Brown Limper had shown them this was just another instance of Tyler's lies, had their own role to play in this clever strategy. Tyler's old home had then been booby-trapped with grenades and blasting caps, and Brown Limper had been assured by the Briganti explosive experts that all Tyler would have to do was open a door, and he would be blown to bits. The story would be that Tyler had gone to his house despite warnings about the old mines, and that one had blown up. In this way, there could not possibly be any outcry or blame attached to Brown Limper. The senior mayor Planet was a bit hazy on whether this had been his own idea or Turl's. But no matter, it was brilliant political thinking. The state and nation must be freed of the scourge, the arch-criminal Tyler, and with a minimum of repercussion to the body politic. Also, Brown Limper had read someplace that the end justifies the means, and this seemed to be a sound basic policy. Brown Limper realized, when he thought about it, that he was becoming a statesman, ranked with the most stellar figures of ancient man. At 6 a.m., he ordered General Smith to begin changing the guard at the compound. The cadets were to be permanently relieved on the grounds they didn't like the duty and it interrupted their studies, and the state now had a proper standing army. Brigantes were to be on guard duty there by 8 a.m. A hasty call had ascertained that the other two with Stormalong had left some time ago for the academy, and it was so logged by the duty officer at the compound. Thompson submachine guns had been issued to the Briganti commando. Somehow, assault rifles were not available, but Thompsons were all right for this duty.